to another episode of New Generation Speaks. This is going to be our first episode since the break. So I'm happy that you're back, and I hope you've been catching up on previous episodes and sharing New Generation Speaks to your friends and family. Today, we will be talking about Pride Month and the LGBTQ plus community. And on today's episode, we have two guests, Jack Say and Lucy. And
hello.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one. Like I said, we've just come from a break, so this should be interesting, and I'm glad to start getting episodes out again. So to start, you guys, I just wanted you guys to like kind of introduce yourself. You can introduce your name, your pronouns, what you go by, like how you identify, or like anything you want to share, that's fine.
Sure, I can go first. Okay, so my name is Lucy. My pronouns are she, her, they, them. I'm gender queer. Like, I just like to label everything as queer because there's not really a good label for my sexuality or my gender identity. So, yeah.
My name is Jaxay. My pronouns are she, her, they, them. And I'm kind of in between my identity right now, but I'm basically non-binary. But yeah.
Yeah, and for me, I don't consider myself to be a part of the LGBTQ plus community because I'm a cisgender, like, female, and I go by she, her, and I consider myself to be straight. But thanks for sharing, guys. So, to start off the conversation, I was just wondering, you know, when did you realize what your identity was and, like, how you just came to the decision that you were a part of the LGBTQ plus community? And if you wanted, if you're comfortable with sharing, like specific things, please do so. But if not, that's okay.
Okay. Well, first off, I want to say thank you for bringing me on here to basically talk about just the community in general and just how I play a part in it. So thank you very much. And I kind of, like, I think when I first noticed that I was part of the community, I was like in kindergarten. And, you know, I had, you know, this crush. I'm not going to say his name, but I had this crush when I was just like, it was a dude. And at first, I didn't know what it was at all. But when I, you know, asked friends and stuff, they told me, you know, like, if you like men, it's either that you're bisexual or you're gay. So that's just how I felt. You know, at first, I was bisexual for like 3 years, but I just realized I didn't like females anymore. So I became gay. And I first opened up about my sexuality, maybe my sophomore year, basically this year, because I wasn't really as open as I was because I was always kind of afraid, you know. But when I realized that you are who you are and like no one can change that, I became more open with myself. So I didn't really start to be open with myself until my sophomore year in high school. But yeah, that's my answer.
Okay, so mine is kind of embarrassing. When I was 6 years old, I watched porn on my mom's phone, and it was like some pretty hardcore lesbian stuff. And then after that, I just remember looking at women and loving what I saw. So that was kind of it. And then, like, for my gender identity, it's just always been, like, I knew I wasn't a girl. Like, I knew that I didn't fit in a girl or, like, a guy. Like, I didn't fit in the construct that we made.
Right.
So that was, yeah.
I forgot to answer that question, but I'm sorry. But my gender identity, I always felt like that I fitted more. Let me say this. Okay, so I'm kind of in between non-binary and a female. Like, that's how I identify myself. I'm kind of in between that. I'm still trying to figure out which one I'm more comfortable, you know, being. I'm not sure yet, but I've always felt more comfortable around females, and I just felt like I could be more relatable to females than I am with males. So mm-hmm. I've always felt like I was just a female stuck in a man's body. Like, that's just how I felt. I don't know why, but that's how I always felt, because you'll barely see me hanging around with dudes. I'm always with some girl or just some females, and we just, you know, jabbing, whatever. But I just always felt more like as a female than I was as a male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I'm wondering, so when you, like, came about, like, your identity and realized, you know, who your true self were, to say, like, how did that, like, affect maybe some of your friendships, relationship with family? Like, how did people around you, like, affect, like, start acting, I guess?
Okay. So I didn't necessarily have, like, any friendships that ended because of my sexuality. I don't really think I've ever lost friends because of that. But it did take my mom a while to, you know, get used to me and just being used to my sexual orientation. So it kind of took her a while. She's good. She's comfortable now. She lets me do, you know, more stuff that I feel more comfortable doing now. But, you know, like, a couple months ago or, like, a year ago, she wasn't really like that. So, yeah. And I just recently came out to my dad maybe February. You know, he's very supportive. So I have a supportive family when it comes to my sexual orientation. And, yeah. And I have an uncle who is actually transgender, who was born a female but is now a male. And I really feel, I can feel how they feel, and they feel how I feel, because we're kind of like in the same shoes. So yeah, I have a very supportive family when it comes to my sexual orientation.
That's really cool.
Right.
That's actually really cool. I would say my family is relatively supportive too. Our, like, my immediate family, we don't really talk to a lot of our distant family just because they're, like, really weird about a bunch of stuff. But yeah, I have lost some friendships. Like, I remember in middle school when I first figured out, you know, like I was realizing that my gender identity is not just a girl or a woman or a female. Like, that's not how I feel at all. Nobody really listened to me. They all thought that I was, like, faking it or something, and, like, I lost a lot of friends, and it kind of sucked. But it wasn't ever because of my sexual orientation, although people did talk about me because of that.
Oh, definitely, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd say for me it was, like, my friends, but I guess they're not really my friends if they're not cool with that, but yeah.
Right. And, you know, I just noticed how I know so many kids who, you know, like, are like me and Lucy, who aren't, you know, what gender they feel like they were born as. You know, they're not really comfortable in that gender, or they're just not, you know, straight or anything. And, you know, they're scared to, you know, open up about it because they don't want to experience the judgments or just anything like that. So yeah. I just feel kind of sad for them, because it's like, they shouldn't be scared to express themselves for who they are. You know, we're all human, and we're all aren't going to be the same. Everyone's going to be different. So I've always just felt bad for those type of people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Also the people who they're, like, out and they still hang out with the same people, but, like, the people that they hang out with are super openly, like, homophobic and transphobic. And they just, like, brush it off. I feel so bad for those people, because I don't, like, I've learned not to tolerate that. I will genuinely cut you off or call you out, because it's not okay. Yeah.
And it's just, like, a lot of parents especially in the, you know, the Black community, the African American community, really don't really respect kids who are like that. And I'm glad that, you know, I have Black parents who accept me and they support me no matter what, and they're going to love me always. But I know a lot of people don't have that with their family. So it's kind of messed up, but that's just how the world is.
Yeah, so with that, like, I was thinking about how it seems like both of you, like, kind of really knew who you were and, like, how you wanted to identify as, or, like, what your sexual orientation was, like, at a very young age. So, like, I was wondering, because, like, for me, I remember when I was in lower school and, like, people, like, my first, like, incidents with, like, people coming out of, like, being a part of the LGBTQ community, like, it was kind of seen, like, looked as a trend. And I know, Lucy, you said that, like, people thought you were joking or that, like, you weren't serious and stuff. So, like, I was kind of wondering, like, did you guys kind of, like, get that same reaction that, like, oh, you're just doing it, like, you'll grow out of it, or, like, you're joking and stuff?
I definitely had a lot of internalized, like, I guess it was, like, a mixture of internalized misogyny and biphobia. Because I knew that it was, like, good for me. I knew that I was being truthful and genuine to myself. But then I would see other people do it, specifically other girls come out. And for some reason in my head, I wouldn't take them as seriously. And I've, like, worked on that a lot, because, like, that's not good as me, who is definitely presenting as a woman and somebody who's a part of this community. And it's just, it's sad that that was, like, internalized in me.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when I first came out to my mother, she felt like it was just a phase. Like, it's just something I would just grow out of. Maybe, like, oh, you're young, you'll grow out of it. It's just a phase. But I feel like she changed because she realized that it's not a phase. It's a forever lasting thing that I'm going to have. So I just feel like she just had no choice but to, you know, accept me and just see me for who I am. But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I was also, like, wondering, like, a second question to the first one was just, like, did you ever, like, for a moment question if yourself, if it was, like, oh, maybe this is just a phase, or maybe this is not really how, like, my sexual orientation and stuff. Did you ever question yourself?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I still do, just because my sexuality and my identity doesn't really have a label, like, a label that makes sense. Just because I like the people who I like, and then I am the way that I am, and I act the way that I am, and it doesn't really fall into anything specific. And so sometimes when I'm, like, really not feeling the best, really insecure about everything in my life, I start thinking, like, is this all made up in my head? Like, did I make it all up in my head? Right. But I know that it's not, because, like, when I do things like this, when I dress the way that I dress, when I, like, act the way that I do, when I carry myself in a demeanor that isn't necessarily seen as feminine or masculine or a mixture of both, then I realize, like, that's how I feel when I'm the truest self. And so it can't be fake.
Right. You know, for the longest, not anymore, but, you know, before middle school, I used to be like, well, what if I was straight? Like, how would, like, I feel like if I was straight, I would be more loved than I was if I was just gay or whatever. But yes, I did use, of course, whatever, for absolutely. I've always thought to myself, like, you know, is this really a phase? Is this really something I just grow out of? But I just feel like the more older I got, the more into it, if that makes sense. The older I got, the more I became more comfortable myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't. Yeah. Like, it just, I mean, it was obvious, but I would try to hide it. But yes, of course, absolutely. I've thought about, you know, what if it's, if this is a phase, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry.
So I was just going to say, that's exactly it. Like, you second guess yourself, because it's just it's a social construct, and so because it's a construct, like everybody's supposed to fit in to one or the other and nothing else, and it's just, you know, you convince yourself that it has to be that way even though you're not.
Yeah, so for Jack Say, I was going to ask you, I know earlier you mentioned that, like, at first you kind of identified as bisexual, and my question was going to be, like, do you think you, like, labeled yourself as bisexual because you were, like, trying to really, like, you were questioning yourself to see if it was a phase, or, like, you know, you kind of get what I'm trying to ask, or...
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so... Yeah, did you pretty much label, like, identify as bisexual just, like, to kind of, you know, be more, I don't know. Hopefully you get the question.
Somewhat I did, somewhat I didn't. But I know I kind of identify myself as bi just to prove myself that I still liked females, when in reality I didn't. But, you know, I would say I'm bi or I'm straight just so... I was still just, I kind of did it to see if I actually did like females. You know, I did have like one or two girlfriends before in the past, but I didn't really like them because that just wasn't me. I didn't feel any attraction with females. So, well, not sexually, but yeah, I feel like it kind of was just to see if I actually did like girls and to see if it was a phase, but somewhat it was like just to set a cover for myself. But yeah.
So another question of mine was going to be, so like this month is Pride Month, and I just wanted to know for you guys, what does Pride Month like mean to you?
Well, Pride means a lot just because like my birthday is in June. So it's always been special to me like that, even before I knew what Pride was. And then when I started to learn about Pride, like a lot of people think that it's like a celebration or it's like a parade, when it's a celebration of a sort, but more of anything, it's a protest just to like keep showing people who are part of this heteronormative society that, you know, like there are different people. We've always been here. But like through colonization, we've kind of been pushed out and pushed away.
Right.
And so that like Pride is kind of the one month per year where everybody has our back, which is, it's kind of like sad to say, because like corporations, big corporations, we have like a rainbow flag once a year for Pride Month. And then the rest of the year, they're super homophobic. But it's kind of the one where like, does that make sense?
Oh, it definitely does. I definitely agree with you. Like,
I was just going to say, like, the big corporations are kind of like performative activists. But, like, once they're there, like, you know, like, nothing can get by them. Like, if they do something scandalous during Pride Month, especially, you could, like, get them down for it. And, yeah.
Right. I definitely agree with what Lucy said about, you know, what Pride Month means to her, and I definitely agree with that. I also feel like Pride is basically, I feel like to me it's like a celebration to just the community, just to celebrate how we overcame all of the struggles that we've received from people in our society, and just all the hatred and violence towards us just because we're different. And I just feel like it's just that time of the year where we just really celebrate our community and we, you know, love ourselves and stuff. And I definitely agree with what Lucia said about how this is like the only time when the world has our back or they actually care about us, when the rest of the year is just like, oh, whatever. I definitely agree with that because, and you know, it is messed up, but that's just how society set it up to be. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point to, like, the next thing that I wanted to talk about, with just, like, backlash and violence that the LGBTQ plus community deals with, and I was wondering if, like, you've ever had an incident, whether it was, like, with friends, family, or, like, strangers, and, like, how do you deal with it, or, like, how do you even deal with knowing that, like, something could happen to you because of your sexual orientation or, like, your sexual identity?
Personally, I've never experienced any type of violence or just anything sort of hate crime is towards me. I've never received any violence simply because of my identity or my sexual orientation. I've never received any type of violence. But I know people who have received violence, like they've gotten into fights or they've had, like, you know, some type of sexual harassment towards them. I've known a lot of people who've had that happen to them. But yeah,
there's been a lot of, I wouldn't say violence, but like incidents that are pretty close to violence. They get real close. Like one time I was out with my friend, we were like in the plaza, and you know that one guy who always stands on like a fruit basket and he like teaches the Bible and stuff, but like a really messed up version, like a perverted version of the Bible.
Yeah.
And like, like one time he was going on about like homosexuality is a sin, and my friend, he's gay also, but he's also Jewish, and so he literally went up to him and like said, why are you doing this, this is really harmful. And there were like a few people that were next to him, like kind of his supporters or whatever, and they started circling us, and it was really scary because we were like 13 at the time, just going out to the plaza or something to hang out. Right. And it's just two little kids. And then we like try to run away as quickly as we could because like, it was really scary and confrontational. And like, that's just the first thing that comes to my mind. But there's definitely been like more than that.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh, also one time I was with my cousin. Like she's not even like my friend. We're cousins. And so we're family, and we were eating at like a Culver's or something, and this lady came up to us and like she was like, you guys know that homosexuality is a sin, right? And it's always like the weird Christian people, and I'm Catholic, like, right. It's like they take this perverted version of a Bible, like it's so sad because yeah, I get uncomfortable just thinking about it.
Right.
So like, you guys are like going straight into like things that like are being brought up, but like also like with, you know, the LGBTQ plus community comes like people with like religious beliefs and things like that. So like, I guess like, how do you feel, like, I guess just talk about the relationship between the two like things, and like maybe even, yeah, just pretty much like talk about how religion plays a role in like LGBTQ plus communities, whether that's like positive vibes or like negative vibes.
I know specifically Christians who find, you know, homosexuality or just anything like that as a sin, which is honestly pretty messed up because God loves everyone, no matter race, gender identity, sexuality, anything like that. He loves everyone. So I kind of find that very messed up, but people are going to believe what they want to believe and going to go by whatever they go by. I mean, you can't really force anyone to change their mind about something like that. But yeah, that's pretty messed up about just religions and how they feel about us. But yeah.
Yeah, and it's specifically, like, Abrahamic religions, like the Judaism and Christianity and Islam and, like, all the sub-religions of those three big ones. They all, like, have the idea that marriage is between a man and a woman, and for all three of them, marriage is something sacred. And for all three of them, if you don't get married, then...
I think it was just an echo. You can continue.
Okay. For all three of them, like, marriage is something big. And if like, you don't do it, then it's wrong, or something like that, or, like, sex before marriage is wrong, right. So if sex, or if marriage is between a man and a woman, then, like, a woman and a woman can't get married, or, like, somebody who isn't a man or a woman can't get married at all, and so, like, there's just no room for us, and because those three religions are the dominant three religions of the world, especially Christianity in Europe, and then Europe spread up across the world, it, like, really dominated every other, like, culture who did have spaces for us, and, like, religions and spiritualities who did accept, like, people like us. And honestly, I think that's one of the saddest things to think about, is, like, the religious and European colonization and, like, almost eradication or attempted eradication of the LGBTQ plus community.
Right.
Yeah.
So Lucy. Sorry.
Sorry, I wasn't gonna say anything.
Okay, but yeah, I wanted to ask you a question because you said that you were Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I was just wondering, have you ever like questioned your like religious beliefs and stuff because like maybe other people like were telling you that like you couldn't necessarily be Catholic and also be queer?
Definitely. Well, like, so my Catholic, it comes from my dad's side of the family, and like my mom's side of the family, I don't even know what they are. I think they're Presbyterian or something. I don't even know what they are. But they're not Catholic. They're another type of Christian, and they're like super homophobic, and like I almost never see them. And they've definitely told me that I can't be Christian and like part of the LGBTQ plus community. But then I also have like my grandfather, he's a preacher for the Lutheran Church. And he's like one of the most respectable and respectful person, like people that I know. Like if he's disrespectful to anybody, it's other people inside the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Like, or yeah, not the Catholic, I mean Christian, like just any Christian, like he, and he'll even go into like deep talks, because I have an uncle who's Lakota Dakota, indigenous, and so he like practices that spirituality, and my grandfather and my uncle have actual conversations and like understand each other about this spirituality, even though they believe in different things, and so I've had really good role models that way in the church. Also, just recently, I've actually started believing in it. Like, when I was little, I didn't really think, like, any of it could be real. And to this day, I'm still kind of skeptical, but I like the tradition of it, just because it's hard to find family traditions, but with religion, that's one of the few things that you, like, your family has, at least for most Americans today, because like yeah, your culture was either taken away or you gave it up because you thought that you could make a new one. So yeah, that's just kind of my thoughts on it.
Yeah, so like just to continue with the conversation, I was wanting to talk about how the media plays a role in the community, like within the community, how it affects the community, whether it's positive and negative vibe.
That's kind of hard because there's really only very few positive representations.
Right.
In media. Like the best positive representation in media is just like showing that we're there, like we exist. But then the portrayal of us always has some type of negative connotation. Whether it's like borderline racist or just like not accurate at all, or it plays into rape culture or anything like that. Like we're always portrayed as just like not very good people. And you know, there's a whole bunch of different types of people in this community. And yeah, like really the only good part about media representation is just showing that we exist at all.
Yes, I definitely agree with what Lucy said. It is hard because I feel like there's a lot more bad stuff that plays into the community when it comes to media than it is with positive stuff. So I feel like the only good stuff is just like Lucy said, like we just there. Like we're just open about it. That's really it. But the bad stuff is just, you know, hatred and offensive stuff being said to you, death threats, all type of threats. I mean, it's a whole lot.
And then, like, in TV shows and movies, like, there's always something messed up with a character. Like, either the character ends up being super mean or rude, or the character ends up kind of being racist, because a lot of white queer people just really take on the role of Black femininity or, like, women of color. And then they claim it as like ballroom culture when, you know, the ballroom culture was dominated by people of color. And right. It's like, there's so many issues with how the media portrays us. And like those issues that I just stated, like that does happen, but it seems so much more in media. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I think that makes sense. Yeah.
So like, do you think as far, and this is, like, specifically when it comes to TV shows and movies, that, like, representation of the LGBTQ plus community has, like, do you think it just has, like, it just now started where we're just now getting representation? I know both of you have brought up that, like, now you're getting LGBTQ plus, like, actors and stuff, or, like, characters in TV shows and movies. Or do you think, like, how do you think as far as progress, where we're at with representation?
I think there's always been, you know, movies and TV shows and stuff around about specifically the community, but I feel like it's more popular and it's more shows and stuff that, you know, talks about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like something I do not like sometimes about, you know, TV shows and movies about us is, like, I don't know if y'all noticed, but, like, every, you know, movie that I've seen with a gay character or anything like that, they've always had, like, HIV or something. And I feel like that's kind of offensive to me because, you know, like, just, okay, let me say this. So, like, a couple months ago, my sister asked me, she was like, can straight people get HIV and stuff? And I was like, of course, HIV is just everywhere. And she was like, oh, I thought, you know, only gay dudes get it. And it's just like, wow, because it's just like, it's just messed up. Like, I just feel like everyone that I've seen just had HIV or just some type of sexual transmitted disease, which really is offensive to me because it seems like we're only known for our sexual diseases and us not being normal, which is is honestly messed up to me. But
yeah, that's like 100%, because like you know, like the TV show Pose, like of course that's in the 80s and that's like when HIV was really big, and so that's accurate how many people get diagnosed with it then. But then there are other TV shows like How to Get Away with Murder and Everything Is Gonna Be Okay, where like it's not HIV, but like one or two gay characters always come up with like an STD. And like the sex culture of the LGBTQ community is real, just because it's hard to find like an actual love, because like it's internalized homophobia. But it definitely isn't like as portrayed as it is in like media. And if it is going to be portrayed like that in media, people need to know, like straight people, straight heterosexual people need to know that like that's not how everything is. That's specifically like for this community to call us out on our own people. It's not for them to be able to call us out, if right. That makes sense.
And another thing that I don't like also is the stereotypes that we have. Like, let me just, like, specifically for gay men. Like, a lot of people think gay men are just loud, extra, gay as hell, and just et cetera. So I just don't like the stereotypes either, which mm-hmm. is just not cool either. But I don't like stereotypes, period, even with race or anything. I just don't like stereotypes at all because all people aren't what we're portrayed as. Like, for example, you know, white people are seen as all being racist and nasty and disgusting and stuff, which is not true. Like, I've met white people who aren't racist and who are clean and stuff. It's not all white people aren't like that. Or with black people, they think we all just ghetto, playing ratchet music and being hood rats and selling drugs and stuff. But all black people aren't like that. And it's just messed up how one person could just be a whole bunch of people.
I totally agree with that because, like, here recently, like, I realized that I'm not one for stereotypes either. Like, I don't like them, especially when it comes to, like, gender roles and stuff or, like, just gender identity. I just realized that, like, I don't know if it's just maybe because of the, like, world that we live in now or, like, the generation, or if it's just personally, like, no matter what generation I was in or what time frame, like, I would always believe in this. But, like, I just know that, like, whatever men can do, women can do. Like, when you make a list of, like, what a quote-unquote woman is supposed to be like and what it's supposed to look like and what a man is quote-unquote supposed to look like and be like, you know, like, you start to, after you go, go on for so long, you then realize that, like, wait, but, like, although sports are, like, seen as, like, a manly, masculine thing, females play sport too, and it can be feminine, you know? So, like, mm-hmm. when it comes to stereotypes as far as gender roles and just gender identity, I really, like, resonate with that side of stereotypes. And, like, you're right, also with race and things like that. But as far as, I feel like I'm more about, like, I'd be like, hold on, this don't make sense to me when it comes to gender roles.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of intersectionality with that comes in, like, just everybody, like the patriarchy and white supremacy definitely play parts hand in hand with heteronormative. I don't know the, like, noun for that word, but, like, does that make sense? Like, it, they work hand in hand, and it's so sad because there are people that are at the very bottom of that list, and they just get the absolute worst of it. And then they try to speak out, and then, like, their friends try to speak out, and it feels like nobody ever listens, like, because all of those things work hand in hand, and they're all separate constructs, like the gender construct, racial construct, just the idea of heterosexual being the default is a construct, like, and they work hand in hand to keep people who are seen as different, who aren't really different, they've always existed, just at the bottom. And yeah. Also, there's, like, a lot of misogyny in the LGBTQ community, like, surprisingly, because of how deeply rooted femininity is, there's a lot of misogyny for trans women and for queer women, or for, like, just presenting themselves as women. Like, they're still treated with a lot of misogyny, and it's really sad because, like, femininity is kind of, like, the face of queerness, even though, like, the point of queerness is to not be in the gender binary. But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to go back to, like, media representation just for a second because I realized I had another question. So pretty much I was, like, realizing as we were talking about media in the LGBTQ+ community that, like, there are TV shows and movies, there's, like, plenty of theirs with, although the character itself on the TV show or movie is a part of the LGBTQ+ community, they're played by a straight person, cisgendered person, you know, actor and or actress, that's not a part of the LGBTQ plus community. So I was wondering, like, how you guys feel about that? And also, like, more specific question was going to be, do you consider that to be representation because of the character, or representation as far as the actor? If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense.
Okay.
I have a pretty different approach to this than most people that I know, because I act and I perform, and my dad's an actor. And so I've, like, been in this industry basically my entire life, like, either backstage of his sets or myself performing. And what a lot of people don't understand is that acting is going into a character or a person's life who isn't yourself. So I think that it's okay for straight people to play queer people, and for heterosexual women to play, like, queer, like, genderqueer people, or, like, just everything. Like, there are lines that I don't think should be crossed, like ethnic lines, or, like, yeah, lines like that, like, where you're physically changing how you look, like, your physical features. But I think the issue with that is that you just need to hire more gay actors. It doesn't matter who they play, as long as they're just getting hired. And that's my view on it, because, like, you're playing somebody who you're not. That's literally the point of acting. And, like, gender roles get crossed all the time in acting. Like, on stage acting, there's loads of women actors who play male characters. And I think that that's okay, as long as, you know, trans actors who are trans are being casted just for normal roles, and the fact that they're trans isn't a huge part of their character, because people in the LGBTQ plus community are so much more than just our identity. You know, we have actual lives and actual, like, qualities, and that should be put into characters, and it shouldn't just be, oh, you're gay, so you play a gay person or something like that.
Like, I think you made some really good points, because, like, I never really thought about, like, really thought about how, like, acting is someone playing someone that they're not. And then, like, when you were talking about it, it made me realize, but, like, back, like, way before that, how, like, when people were, like, when people would be in plays or TV shows and movies, like, men would actually play, like, act as female characters because of, like, females not getting jobs and stuff. And so, like, that really, like, it made sense. And I like your point of view of, like, where you came from, it was a different way to think of it.
Yeah. And of course there are lines, like, not to cross, like, minstrel shows, like, that's a huge no-no, like, but, like, lines like sexuality, where it's not changing the appearance of someone, and as long as it's, like, not negatively affecting the community, like you're not making a gay person seem like a total, can I curse? I was about to say.
I would prefer if you don't.
Okay, I was gonna say, like, it's a very sexually active person, but, like, in a bad way, because, you know, for some reason being very sexually active is seen as bad. But yeah,
I definitely agree, as long as they don't try to make, like, you know, like a, like, make it seem like we're bad people, or we do stuff for a bad cause. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and sorry for, like, flip-flopping back to, like, a different topic, because I now wanted to go back to kind of, like, we were talking about stereotypes and just, I forgot who brought it up, but kind of, like, how racial identity, like, race and, sexual identity and orientation, like, goes hand in hand. So pretty much I wanted to talk about how not only being a part of the LGBTQ community, but also for Lucy being a female and Jack say you being Black, how that affects your lives as having to deal with hatred, or, like, the possibility of hatred for not only one part of your identity, but another part of your identity.
Right. I will say it's definitely hard for, you know, Black gay men to be accepted, or just, I feel like we receive more hate than if it was like any other race male who was gay, because I feel like we're seen as more, I guess, dominant. Like we're seen as more masculine. So we're just expected to be, you know, the protector of the house with the wife and the kids and this and that. So I feel like it's just, I'm just already just a target, because one, not only am I Black, but I'm gay at the same time. So it's just, I'm just a target. And you know, when I came out to my father, you know, he said that, you know, like, now you're Black and now you're gay too, you know? And I'm just like, I know I'm basically like risking my life, but I'd rather live and be comfortable with myself and being happy with myself rather than, you know, being a miserable person because I hate who I am. But that's just how I feel about that.
Yeah, that's definitely. And I think the word that you're looking for is called intersectionality, even though like somebody, like a person can't be intersectional, because intersectionality is like how the patriarchy, white supremacy, and homophobia work together, and not necessarily like the people. But that's the closest word that I can think of. At least that's my understanding of it, is like how those systems work together to oppress basically everybody. And yeah, like I said earlier, I think me growing up as a girl and seeing life through, or being treated with misogyny as a misogyny affected person, I definitely see that everywhere I go, including in the LGBTQ+ community. And I try to see that with racism in the LGBTQ+ community. And of course, sometimes I fail to see it, but that's when I start asking questions, because I'm white. And I know that like being white, I've heard this term, like, it'll always be the heaviest thing about me. It'll be the thing that is seen first before I'm seen as a woman or seen as a person in the LGBTQ+ community. It's right. The thing that's seen first. And then, because like I've seen, there are levels to your identity, right? And it's just kind of sad that it all has to be like this, because nobody chose for this to happen, but it is. And like, people have to take responsibility for it, because we still profit off of it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, like I've had like trouble, honestly, I don't want to say anybody's names, but like with people at our school, I've like called out for being like for saying misogynistic things or saying homophobic things, and then like what they say, they literally say like a slur, and then I say, yo, you shouldn't say that, and then they're like, I'm not being homophobic, or I'm not being misogynistic. And I'm literally telling you that you are.
That's like me saying I can't stand being around white people, and I'm just like, I'm not being racist, like. Seriously?
Yeah, it's just, especially when you have somebody telling you that, no, this is why. And usually I try to explain why too. Like, I will give historical context. Like, somebody said dyke the other day, and I was like, they were just referring to lesbians in general as a whole bunch of dykes. And I was like, yo, you should say that, because that's what like scientists in the 1920s used to do, experiments on women who were in prison. They would do experiments on how they had sex, and like, it was super horrifying experiments. And in these reports and their scientific reports, that's what they would refer to these women as. And so like, it's really bad that you're saying this, and you shouldn't say it. And they were completely like, well, it's not homophobic, it's not misogynistic. And I'm like, yes it is, yes. Like, it's just, it's sad.
And I never knew they did like research on females in prison. I didn't know they did that at all. I never even heard of that.
Yeah, it was in the 1920s, and it mainly affected women of color too, because, you know, back then it was kind of hard to put white women behind bars. It still kind of is, but even more so then. And so it was such a horrible word. And, you know, them being straight and a guy, I don't think they should have said it. Like,
I just have to say, Lucy, it's like shows that you really do your research and like you really educate yourself, which is really cool, because like I really like, I like don't like, you're almost educating me. Like, I probably will like research that, because I've never really like, you know, like I talk about this stuff like a lot with like my family, especially my sister, my older sister, and like as far as like the LGBTQ community, she's always open to questions, and I have a lot of them, but like I never really questioned or like talked about how past, like the history of, you know, our country and stuff, or like pretty much just the world, like affects how like it affects like our present and like our future and stuff. So like I just thought that was really cool that you like know all this stuff and like you're really educated about, you know, what things are.
Yeah, like, because I think it's really important to have historical context in with everything, because there are reasons why these things are like bad, and there are reasons why you don't see a lot of boomers who are part of the LGBTQ plus community, and it's because of the AIDS epidemic. They literally died. They all died. And it's so sad. Like, and honestly, it didn't really hit me that happened until this year. This Pride Month, I started doing more research on it, because I think it's important to have just historical context on everything that's relevant today, because there's always reasons to why these things happened. And I think it's just so sad because the government didn't care at all, because they would have had like vaccines or treatments for it already, like the ones that we do have today, because you can be like diagnosed with HIV today and take this treatment and you can still live a long, happy, healthy life and not die 6 months later, like a super horrifying death. Like, it wasn't fun, and it really killed like every single, like not every single, of course, there were some people who didn't get it, but it killed the majority of like queer people in the 80s and 90s. And,
right.
Yeah. Like, so that's why I like to do research on things like this, because I think that it's really important to have all that context so that we can understand how these things happened and how not to do them again. But then with that comes like other people who are like, that's all in the past. Why should we care about that now? Like, oh my, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I was gonna ask you, as a straight straight cisgendered girl, do you think that it's okay that like little kids are being like brought up and taught about queer people? Or they're being brought up and taught without gender. Like I've seen like an article that of a couple and they have two little kids and they don't like say that this one is a girl or this one is a boy. And they're like 4-year-olds and they're letting them decide for themselves what they like and who they are, rather than just telling them you're a girl. Like, do you think that that's okay? Or do you think that could be detrimental to the child's psyche? Or, yeah.
So like, that's a really good question. And for me personally, I feel like as far as that, is it okay? I think it is totally okay. I think it's understandable for the time that we live in now. And just like, it's very like, this is something that's normal. And like, I feel like that's not talked about, especially like in households often. And so is it okay? I do think so. But like, also on the other hand, I do feel like, you know, for really young kids, like toddlers and stuff, it is like, okay, like they're learning this stuff and like at a really young age. So like, are they like, do they grow up too fast? That's what I start to like ask myself. But then again, like I go back to like, this is something that, you know, they probably see, like they see on TV a character that's gay or that's queer, or, you know, they see one of their friends who have two moms and they're like questioning. So like, I feel like I'm a like big believer that if a kid is able to like realize something or like know about it themselves without anyone bringing it to like directly bringing it to their attention, then I feel like that's when, if they come to you asking questions, I feel like, why would you lie to a little kid or anyone in that matter? So yeah, I think it's okay. And I think, what was I gonna say? Yeah, I think it's like really useful for kids to grow up knowing that like people who are not cisgendered and people who are not straight and who are part of the LGBTQ plus community who may identify as non-binary, I think it's really good that like kids grow up to like know that, because especially within the household, just because the household, that's what I was gonna say. When I think it's important and that like more households should like teach their kids about the outside world while they're in the household, because then when those kids go out and like they see something, if they already know about it, that causes like that leads to like less people being harmed and like less, you know, just violence and like hatred, I feel like. So if they already know there, it's like, okay, like that's normal. I know, like, I don't necessarily know them, but I can maybe like assume or like kind of see that they're a part of the LGBTQ community. And if like I want to strike a conversation with them to like really know, then like I can, you know, like, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
I do feel like it's totally okay, and I feel like it should happen more within households. I don't know if you guys want to say anything about that.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say something. Or sorry, were you gonna say something, Jesse?
Oh, you're fine. You keep talking.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say that. Like, definitely, it should be. I think that parents should like take into consideration that it shouldn't just be like a one-time talk. Like, you don't have to talk about everything one time. It can be like segments. Like they just have one question, like, oh, why does my friend have two moms? And then like your answer is just because they both love each other very much. Like, yeah, something like that. Yeah. Like, just keep the conversation ongoing, because it's an ongoing thing. It's like, there's not like just one box of queerness that you can just put the entire conversation into. So yeah, I definitely think what you said is valid and good.
Okay, I have a question. I came up with two questions.
Okay.
So, since we're asking Brianna a question, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been told, like, by anyone, specifically like an adult, been told, you know, to stay away from that kind of stuff, or just not watch or hang around with people who are a part of that community? Like, have you ever like been told that or whatever?
No, I don't think. No, it's, I didn't mean to say I don't think, but no, I've never had an adult or really anyone for that matter to be like, oh, don't hang around those people, or like, you know, stay away from that. I don't want like it to rub off on you. I never got like that reaction from anybody, but I will say like there's been a few incidents where like I've heard something, especially like as I'm older now and I'm more like knowledgeable about like the community and just like few things, I've like heard people say like things about people who are part of the LGBTQ plus community, and it's like it kind of rubs me the wrong way, just because I'm like, okay, like that's so like insensitive and like it's just wrong. So like I've had that been said to me or like said around me, but I've never had anyone tell me like directly or like not that to like stay away from those type of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a question for you, Lucy.
Okay.
So, well, have you opened up to your family or your parents or anything?
not really. Because, like, I'm not really, like, open and out to much of anybody. Like, I have it on my social media. So, like, if you look at my social media, it's there. And then, like, I'm not going to lie about it if you ask me. But I don't really think that, you know, coming out should have to be a thing. I think that I can just exist and not have to tell people in my life. Like, if one day I come home with, like, a girlfriend, my mom and my dad are just going to have to deal with it. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, I feel like it's the same thing if I was straight, you know, my parents aren't just always wondering, oh, is she straight? Like if I just come home with a boyfriend, then they're going to have to deal with it. Or like, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that brings up like two good points I wanted to say. Because like earlier from your question, Lucy, I was thinking about how like you were talking about some, like, you know, in some instances, or like you read an article about households like teaching their kids not to necessarily see gender, or like, you know, like that, you know, like letting them decide whether their gender identity mm-hmm. and stuff. And like, mm-hmm. what I want to say about that is that like, one thing that I've like, I'm kind of thinking about, or like, you know, starting to see like where I stand on this is like, you know, with, gender identity and stuff, like when people say I don't see gender, or maybe like it's more known for race, I'm not for sure, where like people say like, oh, I don't see race, or like I'm not racist, or I'm not homophobic with gender and stuff. I was thinking yeah. how me personally, I'm thinking I'm leaning more towards like the side of like, I think that's a little more harmful than it is good, just because I am one that like, you have to see, in order to like respect someone as a person and a human and like, you know, just like have interaction with them, you have to recognize their whole identity. You have to, you know, like recognize like that they might go through something, like go through a struggle that you might not, or you have more privilege than them. And that only comes if you see their whole identity. I don't think you like were trying, I know you weren't trying to say that or anything. Mm-hmm. I just like, you bringing that up made me think that. And then on the second part, oh Jesus, hopefully I didn't forget. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, on your second part with how you just answered Jack Zay's question, it's a really good point that like, here recently I had like a conversation with my sister, and she was telling me how it's important, like when you're like in a group or whatever, or like at a job or organization or just in a club and stuff, and like you go around and like you say, oh, my name is Brianna, and like I identify as this, or like, you know, she was telling me how it's really important that like cisgender people or like straight people also like identify themselves if that's what everyone is doing, because it's a little harmful for like only people who are part of the community to identify themselves, or that are not cisgender to identify themselves, because it makes them seem as like they're not normal. Or like you brought up the example of like, if you were to bring home a girlfriend, like they shouldn't question it, just like they probably wouldn't question if you brought home a boyfriend. Like, I really like, I have been thinking about how like straight people's identity and like sexuality and sexual orientation and identity is never questioned. So, but yeah, I was just pretty much like saying that it, like, I've really been thinking about how straight identities are never, cisgender people are never questioned about their identity. And it's just like very weird to me that like, especially adults, or like just anyone in general, will like be like, if someone comes out as gay, queer, or anything that's not straight or cisgendered, they will be like, well, how do you know? Or like, you're too young, or like, this is just a phase. It's like a whole bunch of questions, and like they put down like this idea that like these people do not know who they are, and like they don't know what they're talking about, and they don't know like how that person feels. But if just someone says, I'm straight, or I like boys and I'm a girl, or like any of that, it's like, okay, like that's cool. Like, ooh, you're going to be a ladies' man, or, like, you're going to get all the little boys, like, because you're really pretty, and, like, you're going to, like, do this and stuff, or, like, even on top of that.
Like, they're, like, congratulated, basically.
Yeah, and also mm-hmm. on top of that, it's, like, no one, straight people and cisgendered people don't even have to be, like, oh, I'm straight, or, like, oh,
I'm cisgendered, or oh, I like boys and I'm a girl, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's like something I've been thinking about, because I just find that so weird that it's like that's normal. And especially when my sister like had brought up the fact that, like, you know, like, people that are part of the LGBTQ plus community shouldn't have to be the only ones to have to like identify themselves or like make it known of like how they see themselves and how they like feel, like, because that's like really messed up. So that's something that I've been thinking about recently that I wanted to add.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I feel like if you're, you know, heterosexual, you're congratulated. Like, you're, oh, you're going to be, you know, just like you said, like the ladies' men are just, you're going to get all these dues and stuff like that. Like, you're basically being congratulated for being quote unquote normal. And I feel like if you're not heterosexual, you know, you have to, okay, well, what are you? You know, you have to identify yourself. You got to put, you got to basically force yourself into categories to basically sort of fit in, which mm-hmm. is honestly not cool at all, because no one should have to force themselves into a category just so they can fit in, or just so they can, they don't have to worry about the drama or the mess, which is, I just don't like that at all. But yeah. I do feel like heterosexual people are congratulated, which is very odd to me, but Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and like needing to fit in is also another thing. Like, I see so many straight people say, you know, I'm cool with gay people as long as they don't make being gay their entire personality. And what they're really trying to say is, I'm cool with gay people as long as they pretend to be straight around me, as yes. long as they try to make me feel comfortable. When, because like, there's no gay person who says like, I'm gay, or like, that's not their personality. Their personality is like being flamboyant or whatever, like whatever the personality is. Like, your queerness is, can't be a personality trait. It's just who you are. So yeah,
I feel like stereotypes fits into that as well. I feel mm-hmm. like, you know, just for example, like, let's say I'm with like one of my straight friends that are dudes, you know, they'll be like, well, he's cool as long as, you know, they don't, you know, try to hit on me or try to do anything with me. And I just don't like how they just assume that we automatically like him. Like,
like,
just because we're gay and we like men doesn't mean anything. Like, it's more to it. Like,
it's right. Even if you were gay in the first place, I still wouldn't hit on you. Like,
I just think there's that good.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. And like, for me, it's like, as a straight cisgender person, I feel like here recently, like I said, like, I've had so many questions about just like LGBTQ plus community and stuff. And I think like, I've also just with like conversations between my sister and my family, I think I'm starting to like one, like not necessarily wonder, because I do truly believe that I'm straight and that I am cisgendered. I feel like I fit into like what I view like a woman to be and like what I've like considered a straight person to be. I think I align with those stereotypes and those norms the most. So I don't think necessarily like my sexual orientation is my, and my sexual identity is a question for me. But I do just wonder, like, okay, like, and this is a good, like, my sister, we had a conversation last Sunday, and she pretty much just gave me and my whole family, like, an LGBTQ plus 101, like, course, which was really cool, and she did a really great job. And one of the questions were, like, when did you first, like, when did you come aware of, like, your sexual identity and sexual orientation? And that was, like, a really good question and a hard question for me, because I'm, like, since I'm cisgendered and I'm straight, I've never been questioned about my sexual identity orientation. So it's, like, when did I know, you know? So, like, that's just something that I've been thinking about as a straight mm-hmm. cisgendered person, which I think, well, you know, yeah.
Yeah, well, you do have to remember that even if you're, like, cisgender and straight, like, it's all just a social construct. And so mm-hmm. if you're a cis woman, being a woman is what you make of it. It's like, you don't have to fit in this construct. Like, you could be a cisgender woman and only shop in, you know, the men's section. Like, does that make sense? So, like, even straight people and, like, people who aren't, like, formally a part of the LGBTQ community still can be a part of, like, deconstructing these social constructs.
So, to, like, kind of wrap up the episode, I wanted to talk about allyship within the community, and I wanted to, like, see you guys' opinion on, like, what can I, as a person who is an ally of the LGBTQ plus community, or even, like, other people who, like, support people or, like, want to do more, like, to show allyship with the community, like, what do you think personally, or, like, what have you heard that you think is good to, like, show that type of support?
I think it's always good to show support for anything, even if you're a part of it or not. I feel like it's always good to show support and show your awareness towards something. I feel like you do good just, you know, being supportive of the LGBTQ community. I don't feel like you need to change anything or do anything extra. I would just want just all of society to realize that we're all humans and we're all going to be different. No one, there's no such thing as being normal. So that's just something that I just want society to change.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, there are a few things that, like, I've seen a few straight people do, and they're like, they introduce us as their, like, gay friend or something, like, and like, or just little things like that. And like you said earlier, like, if people were, like, identifying their pronouns or something, and then they don't do it, or they're like, oh, I use normal pronouns, or, like, girl pronouns or something, like, just, like, just do it, okay? It just makes everybody more comfortable. It makes everybody more aware of who we are. Like, little things like that could mean a lot to, like, people in the community.
And also the thing with pronouns, I feel like a lot of straight people think that if you use pronouns, it just means, like, you're gay or you're bi or you just all of that, which is honestly, which is actually not true. I mean, pronouns are very active in a community, but just because you use it doesn't mean that you're gay. Everyone, like with misters, that's basically a pronoun. I mean, if you want to be called mister, then that's just your pronouns, which is, like, basically he, him. So I just feel like a lot of people think that pronouns is just something that's only for gay people, which is not true at all.
Right. Because, like, everybody has pronouns. Right. And if you're not sure about somebody's pronouns, like, if they use neo pronouns like Zzer, which are, like, new pronouns that aren't really they, them, or she, her, or he, him, or, like, any of them, like, if you're not sure how to use those pronouns, or if you don't know somebody's pronouns, just say they or them, because that's used for everybody, even if those aren't their pronouns. Like, at this point in my life, I just default to that if I don't know somebody's pronouns. Like, if I'm on the internet and I see some outfit and I'm like, they're so cute, even if they look like a cisgendered girl, like, I still don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with what you guys said. And I think to kind of just end it there, because we've had, like, an amazing conversation, and I really appreciate it that you two were able to and willing to be guests on this episode. And hopefully we'll have, like, a part two, because literally I just have so many other things that I want to talk about, or, like, questions I want to ask. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys, like, being and talking about the community and that you're a part of.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I definitely appreciate you, you know, coming to us personally and just asking us if we felt comfortable, you know, talking about stuff like that. And I definitely respect that, and I'm definitely glad that, and I really do hope it's for, so, I mean, I'm down, but I definitely appreciate you, you know, realizing and just understanding that this is something that needs to be talked about. So
yes,
the fact that you came to us and asked us, you know, to talk about it, it just shows a lot, and it just shows how much you want to know and how much you actually care. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Exactly. Like exactly what she said. It's especially like when you first asked me, you were just like, hey, I don't really know, but if you are, can you come and talk? Because I think it'd be really cool. And yeah, that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate it.